This is part two of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball titled Parousia and Epiphany.
And here's the problem. Now we don't even know whether this is the parousia of the Lord, because when it says Lord, it could be Lord God. Or whether it's the parousia of another Lord, or will you hear me, the body of Christ. Or whether it's the parousia of the Lord Jesus. And to me, the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ are synonymous, but back in those early texts, they didn't even have them synonymously written. And I'm making sense to you, at least. I'm not asking you to agree, but are you following what I'm saying? In other words, it's very difficult to find out if this is one or the other. But based on the King James Version, the one Jesus used, this is what I'm beginning to see. And here's the order of events, as I presently understand them, and I can't be too far off, humbly speaking. We believe we're here at the time of the fifth seal. The sixth seal should open at what time? Yeah, about 9 o'clock. But the generation that's here at the opening of the sixth seal is going to be here at the blowing of the which trump? Seventh trump. So I'm going to show you three charts. The first chart will be the fifth trump, naturally. The second chart will be the sixth, and so forth, and the last one will be the seventh trump. You'll find out on this side some pictures and the trumps and vials. The fifth trump and fifth vial is also the first woe. This will be the order. This is my best understanding right now, the order of events, starting with the fifth trump, or a lot of other events, but you've already got that in your white book. And these are the expanding scriptures. But I couldn't have seen this, and I couldn't work this order, and it didn't make sense until I had the woes to fit it in. Those three woes. Woe, 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 in the heavens of the earth. We believe that the Antichrist will be revealed at the sign of the fifth trump. Now, at this stage, I'm going to have to ask you to just take notes as best you know how, whatever notes you want. I'm not ready to make printed copies of this yet. So you just have to take it the best way you can. The Antichrist will be revealed in Revelation 9:11. That's the fifth trump. The beast shall ascend in 17:8. But that's the first woe. We know the first woe is the same as the fifth vial. Now that may have been pretty fast, but okay, let's keep going. Now I'm going to review. That day, what day? The parousia of our Lord. And now there's a question as to whether it's the parousia of our what? I want to say that again. That day, the parousia of the Lord, and in this modern Bible, it was the parousia of the Lord Jesus, and in another one, it's the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of it's not even the parousia of anything. So there's a problem there. But that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Now in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 it says, his coming, and here is the word parousia again, but this is the parousia for the Antichrist, is after the working of Satan. In other words, the one who comes to manifest himself in the temple, saying that he is God, is not Satan, it's not the devil. It's a little technical, but it's not the devil. The devil at the moment, the devil, well, I don't even know where he is, but he sent the false prophet in the world to trick us up. But the Antichrist that is going to ascend is after the working of Satan. He's not Satan. And to me this is important because you've got to see that the opposite of God is the devil. The opposite of Christ is the Antichrist. And the opposite of the Holy Spirit is the false prophet. Devil, Antichrist, false prophet. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You've heard of the Trinity. Yeah. We have the heavenly Trinity and the antitype Trinity. Now, at that time, according to what we can find out, There shall be 10 horns, and these horns are kings, Revelation 17:12. And they're kings, they're horns of the Antichrist leopard beast. And this says they shall hate the whore. Now we know that this Babylon, this mystery woman, is the love of money, the root of all evil. And I thought, up until just very recently, that it would be the body of Christ that gets rid of her and eliminates the love of money from the world. But I've just discovered that it's the Antichrist kings, the 10 kings of the Antichrist, that are going to hate the whore, make her desolate. Now, see, this woman has been riding this Antichrist for 2,000 years. He has, in other words, supporting her. And he's going to eat her flesh, burn her with fire. Chapter 17, verse 16. And I'm submitting for your analysis that the war prophet motive will be destroyed by the kings of the Antichrist. And getting more particular, at the fifth trump, the Rothschild money system will be destroyed by a Pentagon type. I emphasize the word type because I'm not saying Pentagon, but a Pentagon type military system. I'm going to say it another way. She's drinking the blood of the martyrs, love of money, as war prophets. Now, we're not finding fault with industry. We're not finding fault with making profit. But we are finding fault with conducting war so you can make profit. Now, what's the difference? I find no fault with men who make tanks. But I do find fault with men who sell tanks to create wars. Now, can you see this basic difference here, what we're speaking of? Let me say it another way, and I don't want to be smart aleck, but listen. You have had your newspapers and television full of propaganda which says that military preparedness brings peace. Mm-hmm. Haven't you? You've read it. You've heard it. Have you heard it? I've heard it a lot down in Washington. Military preparedness brings peace. Would you tell me in the history of the world, the whole world, whenever, was there ever a nation that was militarily prepared that had peace? Now listen, in World War II, December 7th, 1941, we were not prepared. Is that, we agree? We were not prepared. And in less than 9 months, we were making a Liberty ship one per day. We were making tanks and airplanes without number. And they were making those Grumman fighters that had the wings that folded up, you remember, and land on the aircraft carriers and so forth, to the tune that they didn't even know how many they had because they were being produced so fast that it was possible to lose some. And I worked at the company that where some were lost. And that, you know, they were just going out so fast like that. And you know, in less than 4 years, I guess in about 4 years, we won the war on two fronts, Asia, Europe. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. Then we got prepared. Then we were militarily prepared. So we went to Vietnam and Korea. 10 years, 11 years later, things were still going on. You see what I'm driving at? Military preparedness does not bring victory and does not bring peace. Come on now, I want you to see something. That this is no way to have peace. Because there's a Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus Christ. If you put your faith, hope, and trust in any system beside Jesus Christ, that system becomes to you a anti-Christ system. I'm submitting for analysis that it says this Antichrist system has 10 kings and their horns. And throughout the Bible, whenever you have a horn king, he's a general. Throughout the Bible, is that right? Always throughout the Bible, whenever you have a horn king, he's a general. And these are 10 generals. 10 military nations or generals or I don't know how it's going to hook, but I think I've got an idea. Because the 11th one, according to Daniel, comes up and takes over all 10. Is that right? Does anybody remember the 11th horn? He comes up and takes over the other. He eats up three of them and becomes the 11th or the 8th. Well, listen, that 11th horn is Rothschild. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that he becomes the whole thing. And when I say Rothschild, I'm not anti-Semitic and I'm not mad at the Rothschilds. I'm convinced that God could save every Rothschild. The Rothschild is the woman.
And the Pentagon type is the beast.
And the Pentagon military system is that horny animal. Now, I want you to see that it's the woman that drinks the blood because she profits from the wars. See her? Drinking the blood of all the martyrs. She's riding the war system. It carries her. It produces for her. Central banks, the loaning of the monies, large sums for wars. It tells you very plainly in every encyclopedia, look up Rothschild and it'll tell you, since 1776, not one war has been fought except they approved it. I'm not making this up. I mean, this is in all your libraries. Some people say, well, this sounds anti-American. Some people say, well, this sounds anti-Semitic. And, you know, but it's all printed. It's available. And all we're saying is that these fellows found a trick. And what they found was that a nation without a purpose cannot tax its people heavily. But if you give a purpose to a nation, then the people are willing to pay heavy taxes. And the best purpose you can get is a war. Isn't that right? Now, let me get political. I'm running for president. Now, if I was running for president, this would be my platform. And I really mean this. This would be my platform. I would, if I could, set up a program in the United States where we spent just as much money on the building of roads as we would in a war. And I would print bonds and sell them to the Rothschilds and pay them the taxes, tax the people, and put all the people at work, the same number of people that would work in a big war effort, I'd put it working on roads. And the first roads I'd build would be in the urban areas, in close-in circles and far-out circles and crisscrosses, you know, and then I'd start making up more of the interstates and so forth and big roads in order. Because as I've traveled the United States, this is definitely the most dangerous place to be is, you know, traveling in cars. And, oh, well, you know, it's horrible everywhere. I think Harrisburg we call it the concrete jungle. You know what I'm talking about when I say the concrete jungle in Harrisburg. Well, that's a... When they first opened that up, there was a thing in the paper that said the police are going to establish comfort stations up there for people to get lost. You can't get down. But I guess everybody got down by now. But we do have some problems, right? Would you agree the roads are certainly one of our biggest... I think that the best thing to do for a big nation like this to increase its communication, transportation, one of the best ways is the road system and building bridges and better roads. That would then put men to work. If men are working, then they're going to buy more cars. You see, and on the economy goes. And then we would I'm convinced the Rothschilds really don't care if you're at a war, just as long as you're borrowing. And so you've got to have a purpose. And if you had a man with a purpose, and you know, everybody get behind it, and then we could all go to work. And see, there's nothing wrong with CCC camps, but I think roads are better. If you remember, in the 30s, there was a reason to put men to work, but all we ended up with was a few parks. And I think that roads, to me, speak more of commerce. And then one of my tricks would be to, you know, since we have the Army Corps of Engineers, well, we'd have them put them in charge of all the surveying. And naturally, then all the Pentagon would be at work, and they'd be happy, too. And if we could get the Pentagon happy, then I believe that everybody else would be happy. And the whole, our economy would go sailing along as we build roads and canals. And you get the idea. And really level the mountains and
hopefully write your name down.
come the United States always rearms the enemy after they have a war?
Because the Rothschilds are the ones who buy the bonds, and the Rothschilds buy the bonds of both nations, and since they hold the mortgage of both nations, then they dictate that the winner rebuild the loser. You see, but this is a basic thing. Oh, listen, I'm not telling anything that a lot of people don't know. There are books written about it. It's well documented. And I'm not against Rothschilds. I'm against the system. The love of money, which is the root of all evil. I believe that a Rothschild or a Rockefeller or anybody can, you know. Now, this brings another thing, and I hope maybe I can get at this tonight. There's always been a question in my mind when God manifests the sons of God. We're going to be in charge of all these systems. Did you know that? Sons of God are going to be in charge of all of the world systems. Because when Jesus comes back, it's not to bring the kingdom, it's to receive it. All right. Now the question is it easier for God to put us guys in charge of the systems or to take the guys who are in charge of the systems and make them benevolent? Now, God's, there will be a benevolent monarchy. That's what's coming up. You just bank on it. There's going to be a benevolent monarchy. Now, we'll say those who have given their heart to Jesus, their head to Jesus, and finally their body to Jesus. Is it easier to put those guys in charge of the world's kingdoms or to take the fellows who are already in charge of the world's kingdoms and cause them to be sons of God?
Are you asking a question?
Yeah, I'm asking a question. Well, you know, from that standpoint, there's a lot of logic to that. Because would you agree that there's an awful lot in the Bible about heredity and follow the son and all this, and those guys are in charge because of their fathers and so forth? Would you agree? You see what I'm driving at? So there's a lot in that favor. But would you also agree that Joseph started out the bottom and got up to the top by his own bootstraps? Starting as a right in the prison and finally was the king of the world. So we have both systems going on right now. Well, anyway, would you admit that they're spirit, soul, body, just like everybody else? And that they could easily become benevolent? That our rulers? God has done that in times past, hasn't he? Moved on the heart of the various rulers. And so, here's a problem we have to deal with right now as to who's going to be manifest. Well, whether or not I like the idea, and I prefer to think for now, Bob, in opposition to what you said, though I agree you're right, I think it's easier to make the present rulers benevolent. But I would rather that those who are seeking the kingdom could have some form of assurance of getting a crown. You see what I'm driving at? Because this would then give all of us a hope. So anyway, take your pick, one way or the other. The point I'm trying to get at is that this military system, this Antichrist with the horns, does that look mean? See his mouth there and his horns? Does that look like a military system?
Yeah.
All right, that looks like a big bully, see? Now here's the girl, and the girl is being carried by this system. She makes her profit. She drinks the blood of, can I call them cannon fodder? That kind of idea there. And you know that she's rich by it because it tells you in Revelation, the merchants, you know, when she's thrown down, how upset they are because of the richness and delicacy and so forth. But the surprising thing, are you surprised about this? Is that the Antichrist dumps her. Here I was expecting guys like you and me to overcome her. Weren't you? All right. Well, that ought to be a shocker right there. It's the Antichrist that hates the whore. He's been carrying her weight, providing for her, producing for her for 2,000 years. But this says, flee the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:14. Keep this commandment until the epiphany. till the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The harlot woman, according to Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, mystery of Babylon has fallen. She's thrown down in 1821. But the parallel scripture to the one we just read before about fleeing says, come out. Does come out sound like flee? Come out of her, my people. Out of who? Out of Babylon. Come out of her, 18:4-7, and come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, we find then, in Babylon, now did that say that God's people are in the Antichrist? No. God's people are in the harlot woman. Come out of her, my people. Didn't say come out of the Antichrist, because that woman, Babylon, has been supported. Now, I don't know how to use this word industrial military complex, but it causes a confusion, because the military complex, you can understand, but when I say industrial, that sounds like I'm against industry, and I'm not. There's nothing wrong with industry. You got to work. But the industry that's designed to fail when there are no more wars, that's the one I'm talking about. Is that all right? There are lots of industries that really have to fall apart when there are no more wars. And those are the ones that I want to put my finger on right now. Now, the next thing I like to say is even, it's pretty tough, but here goes. There she is falling. Isn't that awful? If the present money system does fail in 78-79, then, presently, at this very moment, we're far past the opening of the sixth seal. Perhaps the sixth seal did open on June the 7th, 1967. And maybe some trumps have already blown. See what I'm driving at? Because the failure of the money system, the failure of the gold, special drawing rights, Rothschilds, all that kind of thing, is it the which trump? Which trump? Failure of the money system is the which trump? Fifth trump. Now, after we have the failure of the money system, as you might expect, we've got to get rid of that which carried her, and that would be the leopard. So, we're now ready for the sixth trump. And this is the order of events for the sixth trump in this column and the expanding scriptures on the right-hand column. The first and most obvious is that fellow there that's walking among the seven golden candlesticks. Because we first met him over there in Revelation chapter 1. I saw seven candlesticks, you remember? And one walking among the seven candlesticks. His eyes were a flame of fire. Feet as fine brass that burns in a furnace, remember? Hair on his head, white as the wool. Face, countenance, shine as the sun in his strength. Out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, down to the feet with fine twined linen, had in his hand raised seven stars, which are the seven angels, the seven churches. Remember this fellow? Among the seven candlesticks. Well, here he is here. At least this is our caricature. And it says that the Antichrist will be destroyed with the epiphany of his parousia, the manifestation of his presence. Is going to destroy this Antichrist and the false prophet. My, isn't that an ugly false prophet? And they get the... Well, that's right. And they get thrown to that lake that burns with fire. Now, while we're looking at pictures, this is a crowd of people. Does that look like a crowd of people? Multitude of people? Huh? All right. And over here, I got a bad picture, but that's a kind of a dragon with seven heads. I'm sorry that that's so bad, but that's what it is. Now, let's get to the concept. The sixth trump, sixth vial is the Battle of Armageddon. And the Bible says he's going to bring these four kings on the four corners of the earth, four angels, And he's going to bring the kings of the earth to battle of Armageddon, 16:16, Revelation. Then he takes the beast, the false prophet, to the lake of fire. Not the devil. The beast and the false prophet. But the woman who has been riding the beast was deposed one event earlier. You remember? Mr. Babylon was destroyed at the fifth trump. So at the sixth trump, we get rid of the devil's trinity, two parts of it at least, the Antichrist and the false prophet, but not the devil. So we believe that at the sixth trump, at the Battle of Armageddon, the military systems will be destroyed and there'll be a complete world disarmament. Now you're talking about the Pentagon about disarmament, right? Yes, there will be disarmament, but it will not be until the war profit motive has been destroyed first, because it's just too profitable to have wars. And you've got to destroy the war profit motive before you can have disarmament. Am I making sense to anybody? Either logic or prophecy, it's what the Bible says. Now, calling your attention, out of the mouth, and I'm emphasizing the word mouth, of the beast and false prophet, Revelation 9:19 and 16:13, goes this fire, smoke, and brimstone, frogs, and so forth. Out of the mouth of the Word of God comes a sharp sword, 19:13, and he destroys him with the spirit of his mouth, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The wicked Antichrist shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Mouth, mouth, mouth. Are you following it? It's a big mouthy picture. And it's an argument with the mouths. And he's going to destroy him with the spirit of his mouth. I'm sorry, consume him with the spirit of his mouth and destroy him with the epiphany of his parousia, or manifestation of his presence. Now, we know what the seven spirits are. We already had that lesson. The seven spirits are the seven candlesticks. Don't you remember that? The seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So, would you agree that there should be a brightness over these candlesticks? And there will be a spirit, that's the seven candlesticks, is going to consume this Antichrist system, and the system will be destroyed with the manifestation of the presence. So the manifestation of the presence, since the Spirit is us, what know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit is the candlestick, and at the manifestation, the proof to the world that you do have the Spirit, this will destroy all war systems. They used to sing a song about, ain't I gonna learn war, study war no more. Now these ten kings of the Antichrist shall war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they that are with him, what am I emphasizing? With, because they are the spirit of his mouth. They are chosen and faithful. They are the candlestick. And this would be the manifestation, because it has the glory. That's what gives off the glory, the light. You see what I'm driving at? So then this spirit in this verse, that's Proverbs, says the same thing. And so what are we saying? That the brightness of his parousia is the manifestation of the sons of God.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.